News Radio WJPF. I want to thank my guest who has taken a little time off from his job to be able to join us this morning. Greg Bishop is joining us with the Illinois Radio Network. He also writes for CenterSquare.com. First off, Greg, good to talk to you, buddy. You all right?
Well, no, I'm great, and this is my job. You guys are a Illinois Radio Network affiliate, so we greatly appreciate it. Anytime you want to check in with what's going on at the State House, especially with the COVID restrictions and lawsuits there and how your tax dollars are being spent, that's what we do. We cover that for thecentersquare.com. You can find us at the Illinois page to keep updated on everything that's going on.
And there is a lot of that. I see a lot of my friends share on social media stuff that you have written, and one of those stories was something you had written concerning the lawsuit on Tuesday filed here in the state of Illinois. The takeaway from this on my end, Greg, it's either or when it comes to FOID cards. Either get them out on time or do away with them. Is that an oversimplification?
Well, I think that's what the charge is ultimately in this case that DeAndre Bradley, a Marine in the Chicago Heights area, filed. And it seems to be just the latest in the ongoing complaints that there have been flooding state representatives' offices across the state when it comes to firearm owner identification card applications and renewal requests. Now, this, of course, for those who have a firearm in the state of Illinois legally, they know they have to have a FOID card. It's a process where you apply with state police, you pay a fee. That fee is meant to go into the Firearm Services Bureau with state police, and that's used to fund all of the various checks that state police say they need to do by law. Now, by law, they're also supposed to be processing these requests and issuing either the card or a denial within 30 days. That has not been happening. And this is not just an issue that happened with COVID-19. This was an issue well before that. For months, if not even a year or so more, at the State House, and people may be familiar with the Gun Owner Lobby Day, IGOLD, happened right every year. It didn't happen this year because of COVID-19 restrictions at the State House, but it would draw thousands of people. And one of the major themes was always the delay in getting FOID cards out. And there were people, I went to press conferences where there were gun owners, and even a former prosecutor said that they were waiting nearly 8 months at that time for a FOID card.
Well,
and
I've got one, Greg.
Late last year.
Greg,
so
I've
an issue that's been ongoing, and we do have this federal lawsuit now that was filed to ultimately either get the cards out on time within 30 days or to deem the FOID card not relevant and just end the program.
Well, Greg, I've already got people texting me this morning on the studio lines, and I've been waiting for my FOID card since November, which illustrates your point for before COVID-19. Now, one of the biggest issues is the monetary issue. You brushed up against it. When I've talked to people who put in their FOID cards, sent their checks, the checks get cashed. So what happened to the money?
Yeah, there have been sweeps in the past of FOID card dollars, and this is something else we've been reporting on for quite some time. This money ultimately is meant to go to help process these FOID cards. But with thousands of applications backlogged, it seems that it's an ongoing problem what this money is going for. Now, late last year in December, there were audits that were revealed, and more than $30 million over 5 years was swept from the gun owner ID fees into other state funds. You've got this ongoing problem, and it's something that legislators have been screaming about for years at the State House, is how state dollars are being swept from one fund to the other. At the same time, this report came out about the millions of dollars that were swept from funds meant to process FOID card applications, but also concealed carry license fees, and even fees that may be paid for firearm transfers. Those dollars going elsewhere. At the same time that was revealed, there's also been this push to increase the FOID card fee, require fingerprints, and shrink the number of years that a FOID card is valid for. So essentially it would double FOID card fees. And the argument that I've heard against that is pointing to these fund sweeps, where you've got millions of dollars that have been swept over several years. Do they really need to increase the fees to make it more streamlined? Now, the response I got from state police to the most recent federal challenge that was filed this week by a former Marine in the Chicago Heights area looking to end the FOID card program. State police said that they are probably going to need some kind of legislative fix to help streamline the process. And they also indicated they've got 60-plus thousand FOID card applications that were filed just in the past month. What number of those are applications that are new, or what number of those are applications that are to have renewed FOID cards? I'm not really sure quite yet, but that could be something that, if this lawsuit proceeds further, depositions and other information could be gathered and all of that.
All right, let's talk about that aspect. I mean, are we seeing the beginning of a lawsuit that we may eventually see a slog all the way to the Supreme Court with this?
You know, there have been multiple lawsuits challenging the FOID card. One of them earlier this year in April, the Supreme Court actually remanded from White County. The case went all the way to the Supreme Court. And this was an individual case about an elderly woman who had a rifle in her home, but she did not have a FOID card. So the way the case played out ultimately is she was charged with violating the law for having a rifle inside her home. She wasn't carrying it out in public or anything. It was just found inside her home. So the challenge was she was charged with a crime. Her attorney said that shouldn't be the case because the Second Amendment allows for people to defend themselves in their own home. So the case, it went all the way up to the state Supreme Court. The state Supreme Court shot it back down to the lower courts. So that case is still at play. There have been other cases as well that have been going through the process. This one, though, is in federal court, not in state court. So I could see this going all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, where a lot of different Illinois laws that have been challenged in federal courts when it comes to guns haven't found much favor by the U.S. Supreme Court. If you look at decisions that were made out of Chicago and elsewhere, ultimately led to Illinois being the last state to finally allow for some kind of concealed carry law. That happened several years ago. So I see this possibly going all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, especially since it was filed in federal court this week.
You know, it's interesting. It's the demand that is on right now. Washington Examiner published a story this week, a gun retailer survey, the first half of 2020, 95% increase in gun sales, 139% increase in ammo sales. And I would imagine that gun figure would be higher in the state of Illinois probably if people could get their FOID cards, and they can't. 8 months isn't a really long time to wait for something that's supposed to be done in 30 days. I mean, the statement that was carried, and you referenced this a couple of moments ago in your article at thecentersquare.com, the state police talked about their need for broader legislation remedies to streamline and modernize the FOID process will be necessary to meet the statutory timelines. So when it comes to the state of Illinois, there's a subtext to this, and I think there has since the FOID card, is this was a major Democrat accomplishment, getting this into the Constitution of Illinois. It was a huge accomplishment in the early days, I think even maybe of Mike Madigan's career. This was something that, you know, they stood on. This is their major accomplishment. They're not going to give it up lightly.
Yeah, the FOID card has been around for quite some time, and it's not very popular with gun owners, at least from the conversations I've had with gun owners. And one thing that gun rights supporters will quickly say is the delay in people getting their FOID cards, and also the delay in them being able to take possession of a firearm that they've purchased, because that's another element here. It's not just a FOID card, it's the firearm purchasing. If you don't have a FOID card that's valid, it's real difficult, and I've heard this from gun store groups, it's real difficult for a gun store owner to look at somebody's FOID card and it has a date on there that's expired. If they sell a gun to somebody that has an expired FOID card, even if they've applied for it, that causes some liability issues on the gun retailer. At the same time, there's also a backlog of the applications to actually transfer firearms. They've seen, state police say, an explosion of applications for FOID cards and firearm transfer applications since the beginning of the pandemic. But one thing I hear from gun rights supporters is a right delayed is a right denied.
Correct. And you know what's interesting is we've seen in the background, gun stores lost basically half in the state of Illinois with the new regulations. Many gun store owners feel they are under blatant attack.
Well, there could be some from the other side of the perspective here, those who want more control and more regulations on gun rights, they point to the violence in Chicago. And in particular, there's one gun store in that area that they feel has an operation of sorts for straw purchases of guns that get into the hands of criminals in the Chicago area. There's also concerns about guns coming in from Indiana and whatnot. So there are those concerns out there that drive a lot of the gun regulations. And, you know, as a reporter, those are things that we want to hear from the other side as well, just to get the entire picture of all that's going on. So you're going to see, of course, those new regulations that Illinois State Police were required to put together for gun stores. And those regulations that were pretty contentious, I think the Rauner administration vetoed one bill and then threatened to veto another one, and they held that bill over for Pritzker to sign, and then he ultimately signed it.
Right.
It put on regulations that included increased video surveillance and better record keeping and a variety of other things that actually led to a lot of gun stores not renewing any kind of licensure with the state. I think I'll have to go back and check my stories on this when we reported on it last year, but it was like half of the gun stores or something like that did not renew their license with the state, meaning they are no longer legally selling firearms. They may have the federal license to do so, but they're not getting the state license. So that was pretty significant, and the state police did ultimately get those rules put in place that supporters of that, the new rules on gun stores, they say that it was meant to curb any kind of firearm straw purchasing and firearms getting into the wrong hands.
Yeah, even people texting here saying, you know, you go out of state to try a gun, buy a gun, and you tell them you're from Illinois, and they say, get out. You know, they don't want to have to deal with the laws here. Before I let you go, when do we expect to see this go to court? Do we have a date?
I have not seen a date yet, and I always hate trying to speculate when there's going to be a date scheduled for a court case, and I'll have to double-check on that, but we will definitely be following this all the way through, and as we highlighted earlier, it's likely that this is going to go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court since it was filed in federal court. It's not going to be dealing with the Illinois courts or the Illinois Supreme Court, which we highlighted earlier, kicked a FOIA challenge back to the lower courts. This could very well go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court.
You know, people, GOP just changed subject on you because I know you've been talking about this too. Greg Bishop is joining us from Center Square and the Illinois Radio Network, getting ethics reform back on track in Illinois and saying we should call a special session. I don't see it happening. I know a lot of people are calling for it. What's your expectation?
Yeah, this is, of course, something that either the Speaker of the House, Mike Madigan, can call, the Senate President, Don Harmon, can call, or Governor J.B. Pritzker can call. Either one of those three can call for a special session. The governor has not committed to that. The Senate President said in a statement that they're still reviewing things. I did not get a statement back from the Speaker's office. Of course, the call to have a special session to deal with ethics reforms, it stems from the deferred prosecution agreement that utility giant ComEd signed with the feds, where they admitted to a patronage scandal where they gave jobs and money to Madigan allies. Madigan's not been charged with anything, but this has risen to the level where enough people are saying we need to have some accountability, we need to have ethics reforms, and they're calling for a special session to have just that. And I got to say, if people want to get updated on all of this and more, of course, stay tuned to this station as an Illinois Radio Network affiliate, but also check out thecentersquare.com. There's a lot going on at the State House, and we've got eyes on it for you.